We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, good morning, everybody. Sal Capaccio here, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. It is it's a tough Monday morning here at WGR Sports Radio 550 across Western New York, across the country, here in Buffalo. We welcome you in. It is the Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Joe, all things considered, hope you had a good weekend of, just doing what you had to do, but at the same time, of course, with our focus on what was happening in Buffalo and then coming back in here to work today.
It was definitely, it's a privileged place to be where you can kind of put it out of your mind on Sunday, but that I tried to do that as much as I could on Sunday, but yeah, it was a tough weekend to do that. To just try to enjoy the weather and do your things outside, do your activities. It was tough.
It is, and it still is, and that's where I am. And I remember doing the show. You were actually gone the day I did the show where Russia invaded Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I said on the air that day that, look, we're going to talk about sports here. This is what we're going to do. This is what I do. We're going to do that today. And we do understand, and this is related to today. I'm going to say the same thing right now. I'm just going to start off the show with it and say, if you don't want to hear about sports today, totally understandable. If you would rather listen to press conferences and what's going on and your mind is elsewhere and you think that's just not the time and place for you to do that, to hear about sports, to listen to sports, please go over to our sister station, WBEN, because they will have that coverage for you today. And there's no doubt, I understand completely. It's Radio 930 AM on the radio and the Odyssey app. You want to do that in WBEN, go ahead. You want to call, you want to listen, press conferences, all that kind of stuff. Please do that. But we understand we are doing a sports show today with the backdrop of a horrific event that happened in our community, obviously, over the weekend. And we want to have the sensitivity to make sure that you understand that we know that, and that if you want to leave us to go listen to that, by all means, please do so. There's no doubt. We understand that completely. In the meantime, I will tell you, as Saturday was unfolding, I found out, Joe, what was going on. I actually got a text from our friend TJ Reeves, the Buccaneers sideline reporter, in the afternoon and said, are you guys okay? And I had no idea what he was talking about. This is the first, and I had to, obviously I went to social media, I saw, and then I turned on the news and I was watching what was unfolding, and the Tops, where it happened, is 1.7 miles from my house. I know exactly where it is. And I started thinking about, what do I do? Do I go down there? Do we help? You don't want to get in the way of first responders, police, people like that. Watching everything unfold, it was heartbreaking. It was saddened. I was sad. And then I started thinking, and be honest, this is the struggle I have, is I have an internal struggle of then, what do you do? How do you react? Because you want to treat it with the sensitivity and think about it. We had tickets to Justin Bieber Saturday night. I didn't know if we should go. I kept thinking, do I go? Do I not? I mean, I didn't even know at first I thought, are they going to cancel the concert? I thought that could be the case. They didn't. But I was struggling with that. I got an 8-year-old. He wants to go see him, and we want to go see him, and I don't know. Is that the right thing to do? I struggle with that. I struggle with coming on the radio to talk about what sports. That's where I get entangled, because I want to treat it right for everybody out there, and I don't know. We did go to the concert. I will tell you, Justin Bieber had a moment of silence during the concert. Mm-hmm. He actually was on stage. He's not. He's from a little north of here in Canada, and he did that. So that's the struggle that I go through when I think about it. And that's why I say it's totally understandable if someone has that same struggle and they want to leave us today to go listen to this stuff. I get it. I do this for a living, and I don't know what to do about it.
I probably would, like, it's, you mentioned the Ukraine-Russia thing. Like, I couldn't even, that was the only thing I was consuming, like, when that was happening. And that's, to me, a lot of what the weekend was. I did end up going out, watching the Toronto-Tampa Bay game, and kind of just getting my mind off it at that night. But it was a weird dynamic for me because a lot of these shootings, mass shootings that happen around the country, like, I've almost just become numb to it.
Mm-hmm.
Parkland and the church in South Carolina and Sandy Hook and Newtown, just, like, racking them up one after the other. I become numb to it. It's like, all right, we don't want to have the conversation. We don't want to talk about what actually will fix this or do it. So, all right. Like, a lot of times I just get to, guess I'll see you at the next one, which is a very cynical and sad place to be as a country, but that's mentally how I usually are reacting to this. But now that it's come to our community and it's soaked in racism, it's you can't do it. Like, it's a tough dynamic because a lot of the feelings and a lot of the anger and the sadness that I would feel when, you know, these mass shootings were happening a couple of years ago before I just kind of, again, got numb to it. Like, they're all coming back up because it's here. Like, it's a drive away. It's, you know, my dad's texting me on Saturday about, like, he's actually how I found out because he was working across the street earlier that morning. And it's like, this happened, like, across the street from where my dad was that morning. Like, it's, I don't know.
I'm sorry. I know. I
always try to, as a radio host, never be at a place where you say, I don't know what to say.
But because it's what, like, we talk for a living.
Exactly.
And people turn to us to hear things.
I feel like right now, though, I'm in a place where, like, all I can say is, like, I don't even know what to say.
You know, and so look, so there's got to be a transition here to what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about sports. And yesterday there was a Micah Hyde charity softball event. Went downtown. It was going on downtown. And they raised the part of it was raising money. I'll get to that in 1 second. But it also kind of helped me think and trying to have these worlds collide, if you will, right? Which is what we're talking about here. What happened over the weekend? How much my heart breaks, all of us does for all the victims, the families. Oh my gosh, I can't stop thinking about these people. And also our sports lives, because this is what we do. This is my job. This is what we do for a living. And you know, I'll just say, like, you know, hate. There's so much hatred. There's a lot more love in this world, as there should be, but there's a lot of hate, and hate is learned, and the only way you learn something is to be taught it. Hate is taught. Love is natural. People say love is blind. Love is natural. It's natural across all forms and shapes and sizes and people to people. Love is natural, and if you're not taught hate, you're going to love. It's just the way it's going to be, and I will tell you that as these worlds were coming together yesterday, it made me think about this a little bit more, which is, you know, growing up, the best place that I might say learned that I didn't even have to think about anything other than loving other people was in sports locker rooms, Joe, around people of all different socioeconomic backgrounds and colors and races and religions and all those kinds of things. And yesterday we were at the Micah Hyde event and we saw that yesterday with, you know, the team all together. There were so many people there in the community. 11,000 tickets were sold. Pretty incredible. It's like going to Star Wars night, right? I mean, like, it was incredible out there at Salem Field. And they came together, and Micah's charity softball game is normally to raise money for the Imagine for Youth Foundation, which is his foundation. And they did. They gave a $200,000 check, which is amazing. That gives, like, sports equipment to underprivileged kids and things like that. But because of the events on Saturday, they also decided to share a portion of the proceeds of the game itself to the families of the victims of the shooting. But also 100% of the silent auction proceeds went there, and 100% of the 50-50 share went there, which is great. It's a great gesture, obviously. Micah spoke about it. Some players spoke about it. And they were all being asked about it, you know, beforehand. And then you come together and you see, and like I said, like the love that this community showed together. I know. I was in the same spot. I was thinking, like, being out here doing this, are we even supposed to do this? Are we supposed to have this softball game? I think a lot of people felt the same way. I was the on-field MC. I felt weird taking a picture of the locker room and tweeting it and saying, oh, the field is ready, with the backdrop of what was going on just, you know, 24 hours earlier, less than that. But that's what we did, and I'm glad. I'm glad we did it. I'm glad we were there. I'm glad we were there as a community. And hopefully to come together in some way, shape, or form to not only heal, but to help each other. So I'm going to tell you right now another way you can help, all right? Another way everybody can help here. Where the shooting was, there's not many options for people to get groceries over there. So I'm sure a lot of you have seen this, but the fridge, if you want to help those impacted, they'll be stocking the fridge. And that is fresh produce, milk, eggs, cheese, baby food and formula, juice, water. Let me just go to, I'm going to go to actually Mark Poloncarz tweeted about it. I'm actually tweeting and reading from Melissa Burgess, who writes for Die by the Blade, Griff's Hockey. She's a freelance writer.
Yeah.
I have her tweet up here from yesterday to drop off things at 257 East Ferry. But I also want to get the from Mark Poloncarz what he wrote, just so I know, because I want to make sure we're all doing this right here. But anyway, if you have it, I can. I want to get to how you can help. But we want to make sure these people get what they need. The people over in that area who are impacted by, who might not be able to get to the groceries they need and things like that. So let me just pull that up for you real quick.
I know, Feed More, Western
Feed More,
New
thank
York.
You. That's where it was, Mark. I lost the page, and I wanted to get it right.
91 Holt Street,
thank
Buffalo,
you.
New York.
That's it. I've been over there, yes. Thank you.
I don't know what times they're accepting today. I know yesterday they went until 5 o'clock.
There so you go.
I don't know what they're doing today, but I know 91 Holt Street for Feed More, Western New York.
Great. Thank you. The Resource Council from 9 to 2 p.m. today at 347 East Ferry, then through 527 at 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Red Cross, Erie County, New York, everybody. But you can go online and find out. This is how you can help now. You want to help? This is how you can help. So yesterday was a really, really, I think, it was a great day to be out at the ballpark, but a sad day. And a lot of people coming together, people talking about it. But we were out there. And I was out there for the Micah Hyde charity softball event. And I was watching this team come together. And boy, Joe, do they love each other. This really is a team that loves each other. And yes, the community involvement in what happened, no doubt about it. At the same time, I tell you, man, one of the greatest things that happened yesterday, to transition a little bit here, because like I said, we're going to get into, you know, sports. And we have to talk about what happened. I want to talk about what happened in the Micah Hyde softball tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a tournament. It was a game. Not a tournament.
Was there just one game?
One game.
Against each other?
Yeah, and a home
there
run derby.
Like a round
and a home
robin.
Run derby.
Was Allen's home run where he spun around and like
that's one
did
of
the
them.
Walk-off, was that the derby or was
I think
that during
that was,
the game?
That was the derby.
Okay.
But he did hit a couple during the game. There was lots of guys jacking it out during the game. It's a short fence. They're not actually hitting it out of Salem Field. Not over 346.
Oh, okay. I actually thought they were hitting it out of the ballpark.
Oh, no. I don't think anybody actually hit one. A couple guys came close. They actually have a makeshift outfield, like a fence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Out in the outfield. So anyway, during the middle of the game, we're in like, they went seven innings. We're in like the fourth inning, right? And someone comes up to me. I'm the on-field MC, and they go, hey, Tre'Davious White's here. I'm like, oh, really? I look back, and there he is. I'm like, Trey, he's got his jersey on. Jay, Trey, this softball jersey. Got to introduce you. The crowd is going to love it. And he's like, no, I can't do that. No, don't do that to me. He kept saying, don't do me like that, Sal. Don't do me like that. I'm like, I'm not going to do anything you don't want me to do. Like, I want to introduce you. You need to. No, don't do it. Don't do it, Sal. Don't do it. And I'm like, come on. I couldn't do it if he didn't want to, obviously, right? So I go to Micah Hyde, and I said, Micah, Tre'Davious is here, man. Like, do you know how great this crowd would love to see him and say, and just, you know, give him love?
Yeah.
So Micah's like, I'll do it. So he gets on the mic. Ladies and gentlemen, got a special guest, Tre'Davious White. Joe, I'm getting chills thinking about the reception. He got a standing ovation. It was amazing. I can't wait until he's on the field for the first time.
Yeah. Did was he walking okay? The moving around? He wasn't playing.
I have to be honest with you. I didn't see him walk very much. He was standing in the dugout when I talked to him.
Right.
And he went to the other dugout, but I didn't see him go there. But he did stand up on the step. He came out like a curtain call.
He's been around a
lot.
He
didn't have like crutches or anything. I mean, he was walking.
Right. He's been around a lot, right? Like,
oh,
Kyer
Elam
talked about him being in
He's been doing all his
building?
Rehab here. Yes, basically, yes.
So he's basically just been here.
Yes.
Like the whole time.
Yes.
Is he as big a fan favorite for a defensive player as like you've ever seen on this team? I mean, a lot of it is his character and like his personality. His personality is a lot of it. But like, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Him matching
He's
that
right
with the all-pro play.
I mean, you think about guys like, I don't know if even like, come on, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Kyle Williams, like those are like the that's the next level. But I mean, there's guys right below that. And I mean, even now, you know, Josh obviously is up in that stratosphere. Tre'Davious is right there. Well, now, he's right there.
What's unique about this time in Bills history is now those guys, those beloved figures that used to be Fitzpatrick and Fred Jackson and Aaron Williams and Stevie Johnson, who are all good players. Now those beloved guys are like debatably the best in the sport at what they do. Like, Allen is arguably the best quarterback in football. Tre'Davious White is an elite cornerback. Diggs is an elite wide receiver. We've turned the page to a time in Bills history where all of their beloved players are now top of the sport. And White is obviously one of those guys.
No doubt.
Remember, we did our, during the pandemic, is that 2 years ago now that we did this? Remember that Bills defensive draft we did?
Yes, I do.
With Shope and Bulldog?
Yes.
And I think Bulldog took Trey White second overall. I think it went Bruce number one, and I think White went second. I'm pretty sure that happened.
I gotta go back and look.
He's going to go down as one of the most, not only beloved, he's going to go down as one of the best Bills ever, especially on defense.
There's no doubt. And, you know, you hope he has a full recovery to his status beforehand. And what I mean by that is being able to play to that level. I think that's the question, right? That's been the question throughout this offseason. But, Joe, yesterday, what a great day out at the ballpark for a great cause. And yes, Josh Allen was clearly the superstar. So what happened was back in 2019, if people don't know, Josh and Jordan Poyer kind of faced off in the finals of the Home Run Derby. And there was some controversy where I think Jordan kind of won it, but the fans wanted to see Josh. I don't exactly know how it happened, but Josh wound up getting a second shot and he wound up beating Jordan. So it's always been sticking in Jordan's craw a little bit. And okay, the defense kind of like, okay, like Jordan should have won it. So this year it was, okay, these guys are going to go against each other. So it was Josh Allen again, Jordan. Here's who was in the Home Run Derby: Josh Allen, Jordan Poyer, Nick McLeod, the cornerback. Greg Manns was actually in it. Who's the
Greg Manns, the center, the backup center,
New offensive lineman.
Yeah.
And Matt Barkley was a late entry. He comes up. He's like, I want to get in. I'm like, okay, I don't know if they want more than four, but of course, right? And then I'm not kidding you. Case Keenum wanted to get in. I'm like, Case, we already got, like, you got to talk to Micah. I can't keep putting people in here, right?
Yeah.
So what I said was, how about this, Case? Case Keenum, by the way, first time I ever met him. What a great dude. I said, Case, instead of being in it, can you just pitch to these guys? He's like, oh, yeah. I said, listen, I don't want to do anything to your arm, but can you pitch to these guys? So Case was the all-time pitcher, if you will, for the softball, for the derby.
Okay.
The Home Run Derby, right? They get up there. I don't know why Nick McLeod or Greg Manns, to be quite honest with you, really wanted to get in this Home Run Derby, because neither one of them were very good at hitting home runs. In fact, Joe, they had five outs before they had any home run.
Oh, all right? No.
So they were the first two. And then Matt Barkley gets up there and he hits two. And then Jordan gets up there, he hits four. He's in the lead. Josh needs three to advance to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he needs. He gets to his three. We go to the finals. It's Josh and it's Jordan Poyer. It's Josh Allen. I don't remember. Did we have three in the finals? I can't remember if Josh only hit three. Either way, we got there. And then Jordan, he had a couple that he didn't like. Jordan Poyer, by the way, was drafted in Major League Baseball.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm Florida sure Marlins. I've heard that before, but
Florida Marlins.
Okay.
I mean, he hit some moonshots, him and Josh. But then Josh got up there, and it was lights out. He just started jacking them. And he needed whatever to win, and he got it. And then he had the spin, and he's right there. And the crowd loved it. And I know Jordan's super competitive, by the way, Jordan Poyer. And I know he didn't like that. But at the same time, you know, Josh Allen, the crowd loved it. It was pretty cool. So Josh Allen, now the two-time reigning softball Home Run Derby champion. And he got a really, really big trophy for it, Joe. A really big trophy.
Do you think that's going on the mantle? Is that right next to like his other accolades he's made in the NFL?
Oh, that's a great question. We actually have
Where
the sound here. Do we have the
trophies?
Sound? You don't have it? You can't play it? All right, so we don't have the sound because it's not like it wasn't mic'd up enough.
Okay.
So here's what happened afterwards. Josh comes over and I gotta interview him at home plate. And I say to him, I say, Josh, I think I speak for pretty much all Bills Mafia when I say this isn't going to be your first piece of hardware you're going to win in your career, right? And uh-huh. And everybody's hoping that. I said, but where does this rank, winning this, in your football and other life accomplishments?
Uh-huh.
And Josh Allen's response was, this is just a placeholder until we win it in February.
Oh, that man, he gets it.
He gets it.
He knows the answers that everyone's just going to, they're just going to eat right out. Oh, that's, he's got a, he knows exactly how the fans are going to react to that. Love it. I bet you two trophies, they're somewhere. They're on display. He's got some baseball trophies up there. Poyer, by the way, I did not realize how ridiculous of an athlete he was.
Yes.
High school, he was his basketball league's player of the year. He was the quarterback and safety on his football team. He had 123 touchdowns in 3 years. And he was a star baseball player because, as you mentioned, he got drafted by the Florida Marlins in the 2009 draft.
That's amazing.
So three sports he was like dominant as?
Yeah.
And he only was a seventh-round pick in the NFL? I mean, come on. Just on the athleticism, he should have
won. Joe, how about this? And he never really played golf in his life until like two, three years ago.
That's right. He's become a really good golfer.
And now he's like a scratch golfer. I don't even know if he's scratched, but you know what I mean. He's really good. I mean, think about how good of an athlete you have to be just to be able to pick that up and bam, like that. But that's what some of these guys do. So you have the other side, Joe. So some of these guys are just phenomenal athletes. By the way, really nice plays in the field. Ground balls are throwing guys out. Fast guys, they're getting thrown out. Some really nice. Saran Neal was making plays left and right in the field. Mm. Does that surprise you? What a great athlete he is.
No, he feels like he would be a good baseball player.
Yeah, he was making plays everywhere in the field. Lots of guys are Barkley, Keenum. Like they're like cats getting to the ball, like just real quick. Then you had a few guys who basically were swinging and missing at really softball tosses.
Who was that? Who was the worst?
I
want to know who the worst was. I want names.
So I have to go back. If someone was there, could tell me someone struck out. We did have one strikeout.
Listen, no shame in that.
We did have one strikeout.
Maybe there is shame in that. I am someone that has struck out in slow pitch softball.
You did?
Before, one time.
You struck out in slow pitch softball.
Not slow pitch softball. Wiffle ball. That would be worse.
I think that's different.
Come it's on. Still like
but
slow
the wiffle,
pitch,
the wiffle can move. Oh, slow pitch wiffle?
Like underhand wiffle
ball.
Oh,
that's bad, dude.
That's because
really
that
ain't moving. That ball ain't moving like it does.
No.
Slow pitch.
Listen, you get in that frame of mind where like you want to crush it, and then you swing as hard as you possibly can, and you can that makes it even worse because when you go down swinging and you're trying as hard as you can to like just bomb it out of the park, that was bad. So I shouldn't be the one to make fun of whoever this was that struck
somebody
out.
Did strike out. It was somebody in the offense. I can't remember exactly who it was. I don't want to say who it was if it wasn't. Like I'm thinking, I don't think it was Marquez Stevenson. I don't think so. Isaiah Hodgins. I think
were
it was
the rookies here?
There were a few. Yeah.
Elam was one of the rookies.
You know what? What's funny is I don't remember any draft picks. There were two undrafted free agents who played actually too.
Okay.
Who were here?
Like that.
But there was a great. I mean, Edmonds and Milano both there. Von Miller was not. Stephon Diggs was not. Just a lot of guys that you a lot of main players for the team obviously were there. And Sean McDermott showed up to throw out the first pitch, so he was there as well. 11,000 tickets sold. Great job by the Bidens, by the way. Great job by Micah, his foundation, the Imagine for Youth Foundation, all of that. And of course, it's rolling into phase two for a lot of these guys. And they're going to be back on phase two. I don't think there's any media going on this week that we'll be able to watch and tell you about. But it was on the heels of rookie minicamp. It's going into phase two where the veterans will all be back. And, of course, we'll have all of that coverage for you throughout the spring here and into the summer on WGR. And all of our coverage of Bills OTAs and minicamp is brought to you by M&M U-Pull It, Western New York's premier destination for used cars and truck parts. So, yeah, it was really cool. No surprise, Josh Allen, he did win it, and you're right. And here's the other thing, that this is not going to surprise you, Joe. After the event, Josh Allen probably was on the field for close to an hour signing autographs. He walked all the way down left field. Joe, he started at the home plate, basically, walked all the way down left field, went back inside, get a drink or something, came back out, and went all the way down right field signing autographs.
He's perfect in that area, right?
It's great.
He's a dream for what you would have wanted for the fan interactions, talking, like being personable. Yeah. How smooth he was on that video too, where he hits the home run and he just turns around. He knows it's
you
gone.
Gotta see it.
He's flaunting.
It's great.
He's getting the crowd involved. Like he is just perfect in that regard.
There was some controversy in the game. There were a few controversial plays.
Was there a replay review?
There was none, but like then they get mad at me because they're like, there's no real, there was an ump. One ump on the field was Micah's dad.
Okay. So was anyone screaming at Micah's dad,
dirt? Barkley almost got thrown out of the game, actually. He was getting in his face. That was kind of funny. And then what happened was there was a play where Gabriel Davis was at the plate and he hit it. It was a foul ball and it was caught. Cam Lewis, a great athlete. He was catching. Cam Lewis caught it. And the defense was saying it was high enough to be an out. It was close. And they were looking at me, and I had to make the call. And I'm like, dude, I'm the MC. What do you want? And then I made a judgment call here, Joe. This is what I did. I looked at Micah. I said in the microphone, Micah, people didn't come here to see Gabriel Davis foul out. He has to hit. So I let him up, and they were mad at me. The defense was mad. I thought I was going to get beaten up. Wow. Didn't know for sure.
He's favoring offense.
That's what they thought. Mike Love was mad at me. No, it's all right. He's a good dude. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Paul Hamilton's going to join us. Rochester Americans, big win last night, NHL playoffs, and Joe and I have an exercise for Joe as we go on. I'm just going to say this. I'm excited about the Sabres, as a lot of you are, in their future. But I need to know from you, Joe, where do they fit in a couple of years? Like, where are they going to fit in this entirely loaded Eastern Conference? We'll get to all of that today here on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Okay, Paul Hamilton joining us right now on the West Her Hotline, and his appearances are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. I saw Lou Nutrino from Equitable Advisors yesterday at the Micah Hyde softball game, and Paul, I said to him, I said, every time Paul Hamilton comes on the air, I have to say Equitable very slowly to make sure I get it out right. It's one of those things, right? So he appreciated, obviously, all what you do, and it's funny, though. You know, he laughed. He understood, for sure. So I always have to say it slowly. Equitable Advisors. So there you go, Paul, and that's one of your sponsors there.
Well, good. I appreciate that too.
All right, so Paul, let's start locally, if you will, Rochester. I guess, you know, with the Sabres and the tie-in there before we get to the big picture of the NHL. Just tell us about yesterday. What happened and where things stand right now, how it all went down for the Rochester Americans.
Well, I know you and your boy were busy yesterday, but had you been able to get to Rochester, you would have loved that.
Awesome.
He would have loved it.
Yeah.
To be in that sellout crowd, and they had a party on the street. They closed the street beforehand. You know, it's nice, too. An overtime game, and you still would have been out of there before around 8 o'clock. You know, so.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
right. Yeah.
You know, with a 5 o'clock game, but it just, the atmosphere was phenomenal. I can't remember the last time I've been part of a sellout crowd there. I used to do some play-by-play there. I would say it'd be the late 90s when I was doing some play-by-play for the Amherst. The last time, you know, I had been around for a playoff sellout like that, and they were loud. They were into it. And you could tell the Amherst were drawing off of it. These guys, you know, when they were up with the Sabres, and Krebs is somebody I have on my mind that – he just loves playing when the fans are like that, and it seems like he comes through in those types of situations. I mean, you can see the spirit he has, and, you know, they score a goal, and he always leaps in the air, and he's just so into it and so much enjoys it, and you can tell, you know, his play gets better as he goes along, and it was just a great atmosphere for their game yesterday.
He had the pass in overtime, right, Krebs?
He did. He's
wow.
He's got 8 assists in 5 games.
Wow.
And he's just been phenomenal. It's just amazing to watch him, and you could see it here on the NHL level too. His brain is ahead of the play. He sees the play developing before it happens. He can see it coming, and you can't teach that. That's just a God-given ability that. You know, and not only does he see the play, but he can get the puck through traffic, through legs, through passing lanes, and get it through to a player where others don't. Ristolainen was talking after the game how you got to be ready when he's on the ice, because he can get you the puck when you're not expecting the puck. and not only get it to you, but he get, you know, that was right in Ristolainen's wheelhouse. Not only, you know, does he get it through, but it's right in his wheelhouse where he can just let it fly. And it was really funny when Ristolainen says, "I just closed my eyes and shot it."
Yeah, and by the way, he says, "You got to be ready." He was certainly ready. He was ready for that. So he's speaking from knowing that. Like, I got to be ready no matter where I am. That puck's coming, and you can't wait on it. Like, you just have to have eyes in the back of your head ready for it.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, I mean, he has scored a couple of goals like that here in Buffalo, too. He's very similar to Olofsson.
Right.
In the being over in that circle, getting the one-timer off in a hurry and having it just unloading it. I mean, just a howitzer for a shot. And it'll be interesting. I mean, I talked about Krebs has 8 points. So does Ristolainen. He has Rochester's 4-1 in these playoffs. All 4 wins are in overtime. And he has 2 goals and an assist in overtime alone. And he's got 6 goals and 2 assists for 8 points. And I was kind of thinking that maybe he was out of the Sabres' plans. There was a rumor that had come out. You wonder if it was maybe agent-generated that he was going to play in Switzerland next year. He is a, you know, his contract runs out. Now, he had denied that, but you got to remember, too, he's under contract right now with the Sabres, so he's got to deny that. He can't say, "Oh, yeah, I'm already ready to go play in Switzerland next year." And then the clincher for me was Owen Power shows up and they give him Ristolainen's number. It wasn't Dave Anderchuk showed up and it's like, "Well, a Hall of Famer just came here, so we're going to give him his number 25 back, rookie. Is that okay?" It was like, it's just another rookie that showed up and now you lose your number? I'm thinking, that's not really, I'm thinking that I don't think he's in the plans anymore. Now, Adams hasn't said that, but that was just the way I was thinking. But you gotta wonder if the last month and a half, and it wasn't just the playoffs. He had, I had added it up going into, that second playoff game. He had, 21 points in his last 18 games or something like that. He really, for the last month and a half, has gotten going. Somebody said to me yesterday that it took him a while, but he's now learned the North American game, the smaller ice surface and everything, and he's really starting to excel. He was really having trouble learning it. It took him a while. So now, if indeed the Sabres were going to move on, has the last month and a half changed their minds from what they've seen with him?
51 points in 57 games for him. I was thinking about him for the Sabres next year, too. Paul, it's going to be so tough, though, just because, I mean, we're already trying to carve out spots for Jack Quinn, and I think many fans want to do that right now with J.J. Paterka, especially scoring the hat trick the other night. And it's like, add Ruotsalainen in there, too, and they want to bring back Vino Stroza, and do you want to do anything else in free agency or in the trade market? He might be one that's tough because, I don't know, if he's told you're going to be a betweener, you'll have a shot to earn the job out of camp, will he say, "All right, well, it's a shot to be on the Sabres or be in the AHL, or I go home or be closer to home"? I know Switzerland is not home for him. So wouldn't it feel like it's almost 50-50 what his future is?
Yeah, I would think if it's just what it is now that we're going to maybe give you an opportunity, he would play in Europe and not come back. So, but you're right, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but right now I don't see a spot for Paterka. Quinn and Paterka, one or the other. And the reason I say that is this. I could find a spot for him on the team, but if he's not in your top six, what are you doing? I don't think I want to put him on a line with Gergensen and Oposo. I think rather have him in Rochester and wait for a top six spot to open up and put him in there. I said top six. I could maybe say top nine. Unless you're going to take Asplund out of there. But I think one of the reasons Dylan Cousins played so well down the stretch was they paired him with Asplund. Asplund's a very good two-way forward, and players that play with him tend to play better. And I thought Cousins really excelled by playing with Asplund. So let's say you put Quinn out there with Cousins and Asplund, and you still have Krebs with Mittelstadt and Tuck, and you still have Thompson with Skinner and Olofsson. Olofsson maybe would have been the guy we're talking about here, but he, too, in the last 2 months of the year, really improved his five-on-five play to the point where I thought to myself, yeah, that now he is a top-six guy. I didn't think he was before that. But you know, so I'm looking to think, where am I going to put him?
Yeah, that's what'll be interesting on Kevin Adams' part, Paul, because he's spoken about not really wanting to block them if they win, if they earn a spot on the roster, to make sure that there's an opportunity for them to do so. Paterka, I think I remember you even saying that he maybe earned a spot out of training camp for this team this year. And if he has the season he just did in the AHL and then comes out next year and maybe does it again, where it's like, this guy's one of our best 12 forwards, but 2 years in a row, we got to tell him, we got to send him down just because we have so many bodies. I mean, that'll be tough. And maybe that's when you think about, like, who's expendable. Like, Olofsson will come up because of arbitration. Mittelstadt might come up. I don't think Asplund is because he plays a role in the bottom six. Bjork, I don't know. It's tough because I hear everything you're saying, and it's like, yes, it's crowded, and it is hard to find just a clear spot for the kid to come up and play next year. But, man, if he earns a job 2 years in a row out of training camp slash preseason, I mean, that's going to – I feel like it's going to rub fans the wrong way.
Well, this year, I understood why he went down.
Yes.
And when he did come up, he wasn't very good. I mean, those two games, he really, really struggled. And it was just the fact that, you know, it was defensively, it was the North American game. And interestingly enough, you know, when you Seth Appert brought this up after the game yesterday. And he didn't hesitate. He didn't stutter when he was asked, you know, what's been the difference in Paterka's game? Immediately, he said defense. He said Michael Pekka, who is probably the best two-way forward that this franchise has ever seen, has really been working with him, showing him that when he does the work he's supposed to do defensively, it opens up his offense because he's not spending a lot of time in his own zone. You know, he's working to get the puck back. He's working defensively. And what happens is they get in transition quickly and up the ice they go. And he's finding, by being the two-way player that Pekka's teaching him, he's getting more chances offensively than he was getting before. So, you know, he's able to work his offensive magic by being a better defensive forward that Pekka's been teaching him. So that, according to Seth Appert, has been the biggest part of his game. Is, you know, he's not a liability defensively anymore, and it's helped his overall game and helped his offensive game moving forward.
Paul Hamilton on the West Shore Hotline. All right, so what happens from here? This is a five-game series, right? A best of five between Rochester and Utica.
It is. So the Amherst just we need to win one of the last two here. Game four is in Rochester on Tuesday. And if Utica were to win that, then game five, the deciding game, would be in Utica on Thursday. So
Wow. The
Amherst just have to, you know, get one more victory, and they knock off the first-place team. This is the fifth-place team against the first-place team right now. Laval and Toronto, last I looked, they were 2-2. They were the second- and third-place teams. So that's what you're playing for. If you win this series, then you get a date with Laval and Syracuse, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Laval and Syracuse are playing, and you earn a date with the winner of that series.
If Lukanen gets healthy by next week, let's say, I mean, I know they got to win a game here, but if they get to the next round, is Dell playing well enough to where they might just say, we just keep riding with him even if Lukanen gets back?
What I'm seeing from Dell is the big save at the big time. He robbed a couple of Utica players and made some huge saves. There are still goals where you say to yourself, I maybe would like him to get that. But there, he also is making some huge saves right off the bat in yesterday's game. One of the Comets was all alone, and Dell, he's just eye to eye with Dell, and there Dell just, it was DeLeo, and Dell just made a huge glove save as DeLeo tried to go up top on him. And, you know, otherwise in the first minute of the game, you're down 1-0. So, you know, he's also been good down the stretch in games. Third period, overtime, you know, where that's when he's really, you know, that first overtime against Bellevue, he made three saves in the beginning overtime that were just phenomenal. And it gave the Amherst a chance to win that game. It was the game in Rochester that they won. And it was game one, actually, of the series. But he made three saves to start the overtime that were just phenomenal saves that allowed the Amherst to come down. And it was Ristolainen again to score the game-winning goal. So he's making the saves at the right time and coming up big that way.
All right, Paul, I'm going to make you in charge of the you're going to be the headline writer now. Paul Hamilton, you get to write the headline of the NHL first round. What is the headline of the NHL first round, the biggest storyline, now that it's complete?
Excitement.
Yeah.
Because the game sevens, you don't get that many game sevens.
Agreed, yeah.
You know, in the NHL playoffs like that, and, you know, they didn't disappoint. I mean, the Rangers and Pittsburgh went to overtime in game seven. Dallas and Calgary went to overtime in game seven as Dallas is trying to absolutely steal a series. Oof. They did not deserve
no.
to be sitting there. They hung their goaltender totally out to dry, and he was up to the task. And the goal that Gaudreau scored, it was just unfortunate for Ottinger because it was like a lacrosse goal. The puck stood up, and that allowed Johnny Gaudreau to sling the puck instead
of shooting it. What a shot!
And that's the thing. If the puck stood up, and it made it like a lacrosse shot where he could sling it, and by able to sling it, he was on an off angle, and it was able to go into the net. As I said, it was almost like a lacrosse shot. Whereas if the puck just would have sat down, he didn't have an angle where that he could have got the puck in. And it was just a bad break for Ottinger there that the pucks got up on end for Gaudreau to be able to take that shot.
All right, Sal made you the headline writer. I'm going to make you the owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs now. Who falls on the sword, if anybody, for a sixth straight year where they lose in the opening round of the postseason?
I don't think gutting that organization is the thing to do, but I do think you need to make a couple of moves. And by that, I mean, I think maybe you might have to take a little bit of your forward talent and turn it into defensemen. Mm-hmm. I just think they need some better defensemen. And if you've got to trade Nylander or you got to trade, I hate to say this, but if you can get a top defenseman, maybe even Marner. I mean, make a blockbuster that way.
Yeah.
But I'm not the person that's like, you get rid of Marner, get rid of Matthews, just blow the whole thing up.
Right.
Fire everybody. And I just don't think, because I think you can't lose sight of the fact that every year Toronto is playing one of the best teams in the National Hockey League in the first round of the playoffs. So when it's a good team against a good team, and they haven't been able to get through that. Now there was one exception, and I would say last year it was Montreal, but Montreal wound up in the Stanley Cup Finals because their goaltender was doing the Jake Ottinger. He was standing on his head,
yeah,
and their goaltender got him through. So they ran into a hot goaltender and Shea Weber yet last year, but for the most part, these playoff failures, you're going against one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. And I don't know. I just don't think in that situation you just start over and blow it up.
Nylander, you're right, almost feels perfect for it because he's more than good enough. I mean, 80 points this year where you'd think I should fetch a top-level defenseman for him. But he also, right, he's definitely below, like you mentioned, he's below Matthews and Marner in terms of, like, you trade one of them. Like, that's a blow-up. That's almost like a regime change, even though it's on the roster.
Right.
Whereas Nylander is, we're just flipping our depth. And remember, they also don't have a goalie under contract for next year at the moment because Campbell is a free agent. I don't know if he's likely to come back, but yeah, defenseman they need, goalie they need. They don't have a lot of cap space. I feel like it feels to me, Paul, like they've kind of blown the best years of that Tavares contract.
Yeah, Campbell was all right. I mean, he wasn't. I wouldn't say he's the reason they lost the series.
Right.
But you're right. I think they need to have better goaltending and definitely need to have better defensemen. It's interesting when we talk about goaltenders. You've heard me say it many times. You know, I just don't believe in making goaltenders first-round picks. You know, but, you know, the thing is, too, you look at Ottinger, who's a first-round pick with Dallas. They absolutely don't take Calgary to seven games without him. And you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Their goaltender's the number one pick, too. And they've won two Stanley Cups with him. So, but I remember when they traded for Leonard. I said, I don't care what goaltender I'm getting. It has nothing to do with Robin Leonard. I just thought that Murray was crazy to give up a number one pick for a goaltender, especially that particular goaltender. I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if I need to change that philosophy a little bit because, Carey Price was a number one pick too. And I just wonder if I need to maybe start thinking a little differently. Spencer Knight is a number one pick, but he's not playing for Florida. Bobrovsky is, but I think he eventually will be. So maybe that's something, you got to think about that maybe, how things change and evolve. Maybe, you got to start thinking about that. Maybe it's not such a bad idea, depending on that goaltender. If it's the right guy, maybe you do have to spend a first-round pick to get a goaltender.
All right, Paul. Well, you think about that. Next time we have you on, we'll ask you about it again and see if you change your mind. Okay, pal?
Okay.
We do that. All right. Thank you, Paul. Really, really appreciate your time this morning.
Take care, guys.
All right. That is Paul Hamilton. We'll come back when we do, real quickly. Really interesting, not a stat of the day, but I think one of the most all-time incredible stats in hockey. That gets us to where we're going next, all right? So we'll talk about that, where the Sabres fit in as we go forward here on WGR. All right, Joe. I don't know if you can do this or not. Could you name or come close to the naming the top four points, NHL playoff scores, points?
All time.
Top four.
Gretzky?
Yes.
Messier.
Yes. And that's one and two.
Mike Bossy.
No, but good guess. I like that because obviously he was on some great teams.
I'm trying to think of like dynasty runs here.
Okay, go ahead.
Paul Coffey.
He's up there. He's actually seventh. Good. But now you're thinking right. There's a reason I'm bringing this up.
Okay.
Here they are. Gretzky, Messier, Jari Kurri, Glenn Anderson.
All Oilers. Trying to stick with the Oilers.
All Oilers from the early 80s, right? So I've often said here, I've said this, it's a sports belief. You know, people always say, what's a true sports belief you have? I believe there's never been a greater collection of talent on one team than the early 80s Oilers in any sport. I think they were the most amazing collection of talent ever, right?
Yeah.
Joe, we are talking over 30 years ago. The top four playoff point scorers are still the same, and they're all on the same team.
That is crazy.
It has been over 30 years, and no one has been able to crack the top four. And they all played. And by the way, here's what's even more amazing. It was a best of five series in the first round back then, not best of seven. They didn't play as many games. Then they routinely swept teams.
Wow.
Right? So the reason I bring it up, I saw last night, Sidney Crosby is just outside. He's tied for fifth with Jágr. He's got 201. Anderson at the bottom of this top four is 214. Sidney Crosby needs 13 playoff points to crack that top four for the first person to ever do it in 35 years. Can he do it? Will he do it? He's averaging, I did it, in 17 years, he's averaging 12 points a year in playoffs. He's 13 outside. He will not get another game this year.
I think he's likely to get it. I don't think he has to get it. And
right.
I can maybe detail why I think that. We can think that.
Yes.
When we get into our next thing.
This is a great segue to what we're going to do next. I said to Joe this morning, Joe, I'm excited about the Sabres, but the Eastern Conference is loaded. Where do they fit in 2 years? Where do we see Crosby and the Penguins? Where do we see Ovechkin and the Capitals? Where do we see an up-and-coming Rangers team? Joe, the host of the Locked On Sabres podcast, he's going to tell us all about what he thinks is going to happen with these teams over the next 2 years. Gretzky, Messier, Kurri, and Anderson. I still think it's phenomenal. They were incredible. I'm so fortunate as a kid I was able to watch them, basically. By the way, Gretzky was the first one to leave that group. They all got together in either 79 or 80. He left in 88. He was traded. Messier, Kurri, and Anderson all there through 90 or 91. It's amazing that talent they had. And no one's going to break those records. No one's going to break the top four. Maybe Crosby. We'll find out more when we come back on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.